Okay, we're going to be in Romans 12, 1 and 2. We actually finished 12, 1 last week, but we're going to tie into it this morning as our message is Become a Living Sacrifice, Part 2, Our Relationship to God in the Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as your word says, being a living sacrifice is your reasonable service. That's what you expect of us. That's what you expect from us. But we know it can only be done through Christ Jesus. So, Father, may we just have our hearts open to you today as we have the desire. We know the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we know that the battlefield is our minds. May you renew our minds today and tell us how to live as those sacrifices you would desire us to. A life dedicated and consecrated to you through Jesus Christ. So, Father, may you just clear the clutter of our minds that the world's put in it, the deceit that the world instills every day, and may we just be open to hear all that you have for us today, and may we apply it to our lives through your Holy Spirit, as we know He will enable and empower us to live the life that's acceptable to you as we follow Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week, Romans 12, 1, and I'll just read it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This means we must see. It is God's sovereign will. Remember, all of chapter 9, 10, and 11 of Romans was about God's sovereign will versus human responsibility. Well, it's God's sovereign will for us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto Him. And this is what it means to truly worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not just about singing songs. Oh, I'm going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what I used to think, as I said last week. Oh, that's how I worship Him. No. How you worship Him in spirit and in truth is living a life consecrated to Him, dedicated to Him. And Paul is begging us to do this. Why? Because under grace, this is our responsibility, the response to the love of God in the ability He gives us. He never sets us up for failure, but only for that abiding life, that abundant life that He desires us to have. We just need to take it. It's there for us. It's living in us right now. We just need to know how to do it. And God's going to tell us how to do that in His Word today. So, and we do this through faith. Faith, trusting in Jesus. As from God's perspective, it's only reasonable for a child of God to live this way, to live as His sacrifice, to live dedicated and consecrated to Him. It's only reasonable. You're His child. Any good father wants their children to grow up as a godly child, particularly God. Chain a child up in the ways they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. That's what He says we're to do as humans. Well, look what God wants to do as God. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, is to conform us to the very image of His Son, because we are His children. Children begotten by Christ. This is what our life is about. Why Christ died. To prepare us for eternity. To become children of the living God. Not through the flesh, but by the Spirit. Amen? So, for us, or from our perspective, it's only logical. It's only logical that we do this. We have been given a mind to figure things out. And figuring things out, and what reasonable means, is it's only logical that we would dedicate our lives to God, because He dedicated His Son's life to us. Christ died for us. May we now live in Him and through Him and for our Heavenly Father. It's only logical. As God has consecrated us and set us apart for His service. What's that mean? He has declared us holy. And it's the result then of Christ living in us that we become holy. We're declared holy, and now He's going to make us holy, because His righteousness isn't only imputed to us, it's imparted to us, and we're going to practice it. That's what our desire is if you're in Christ. Now we get frustrated because we can't do it. And that's what we looked at last week. That's what we looked at all the way to chapter 7 and then 8 of Romans. Because we say, this is impossible for me to do. And this is exactly where God wants us. As this is the lesson we learned from Israel, as we looked at chapters 9, 10, and 11, and as what Paul emphasized in Romans chapter 7, it must be Christ doing it into and through us. We can't do it. We got to quit trying. Trying to do it ourselves in self-righteousness and surrender all to Jesus and allow Him to do it. To do it any other way is legalism. Meaning we're trying to do it instead of allowing God to do it into and through us. And as I said, we also know that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. As the old man, that old nature still wants to control our lives, even after we come to Christ, wants to control our lives. It's right there, those old habits, that old way of life is waiting there just to control us. And our mind is the spiritual battlefield where all this unfolds. As we heartily agree with the law, we heartily agree with God's will. We say, yeah, I agree with that. I read the Word and I agree with it. But then we're powerless in and of ourselves to change our behavior, just as Paul had declared, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. So are we hopelessly off God's sovereign path? Absolutely not. This conflict itself indicates that we're in the Spirit. When you have the desire to live a life pleasing to God, the battle is half won already. The other part of it is surrendering and experiencing the victory we have in Christ and allowing Him to do it. You're in the Spirit when you desire to live a life pleasing to Him. When you don't care, that's when eternal life is a lie. When you think you can live your life however you want to because you've mumbled a few words out of your lips and only desire to live your life for yourself, eternal life is a lie. Eternal security is a lie. It's a false sense of security as you're trying to do it just like the Jews did, in and of yourself. It's called self-righteousness. That's what last week's message was about. But praise God that we're on the path now to understanding that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. That's the life we have now. Now it's just wrestling with how to live it. How to be those living sacrifices. As we have Christ formed in our heart, the moment we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, we're born again and He's formed in our heart and He now takes His throne in His new holy temple. Where's His new holy temple? Us, our bodies. What's His throne? Our heart. And that's what it means when it says His Spirit is willing. Our heart is willing. Our operating system is willing. We want to live a life for God. As soon as you're born again, you want to live a life for God. You're excited. You want to tell other people about Jesus. No matter how sinful or how corrupt your life may be, the first thing you want to do when you've come to Jesus is tell others about Him, about how you've been forgiven and how He gives us life and new life, and your desire is to live that life. And then you go out and end up doing your old habits. And it's frustrating. And it just gets built up and you just start condemning yourself. Don't condemn yourself. He doesn't condemn you. Don't you condemn yourself. But live the life He has for you. We've got to get our mind washed. We've got to be brainwashed. Amen? We've got to quit this stinking thinking. Get our brain washed. We have the renewal of regeneration. We have the renewal of the Spirit. Now be renewed in His Word, following His teachings. And then we shall know the truth. And the truth sets us free. Can't be just about reading it. It's got to be about practicing it. You can't follow anyone if you're sitting there just reading. That's a mind game. Now put it into action and it becomes proven and experiencing what Christ has for you. The truth will be proven and you'll experience the life Christ has for you. If all you do is sit around and agree, you're merely just agreeing with the theory. It takes effort on our part. That's our human responsibility. It's God's sovereign will And it's our responsibility to put it in practice. He gives us everything we need. And then we have to put it in practice. Why? Because we want to. Because we love Him. That's what motivates us. That's what being a living sacrifice is all about. Acting upon the desire that Christ has put in our heart as He sits on the throne of His holy temple, which is our body. So today, we're going to continue to explore how God's conforming process unfolds as we walk in Christ, which is really walking in the Spirit. Those who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, there's no condemnation for. Right? So that's walking in the Spirit as we're transformed by the renewing of our minds and conformed to the image of Christ from the inside out. As we read Romans 12:2, which is our verse that we're going to study today. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." As Christ gives us a new perspective, as His new creations in Him. We're going to have a new perspective. Not that old way of thinking, but a new perspective. As God's sovereign will is for us to know how to walk in the Spirit and be ye transformed into living sacrifices by knowing, growing, and abiding in Jesus, which is literally following Him. When you know Him, you're going to grow in Him, you're going to abide or live in Him, and that's what it means to follow Jesus. You're in Him. You have put on Christ. You're walking in Him, walking in His Spirit, as He will lead and guide and enable and empower you to do. And He'll do it all into and through us as He's already done it all for us. So now we must experience His resurrection power. That same power, as the song said, that raised Him from the dead lives in us. Moves mountains. The mountains that are in your life that you look at and say, there's no possible way I can do it. But Christ can and will do it. If you'll trust in Him and act upon that faith He's given you. As He will lead and guide you and instruct you to do. Basically, Christ sets His mind in us. He renews our carnal mind or our fleshly mind so we can prove His good and acceptable and perfect will by following His teachings. As I said, then we'll know the truth. What does it mean to know the truth? We'll prove it's true because we'll act upon it and we'll see it's true in our lives. It's not a theory. It's not just words. It's the life, the way, the truth, and the life that He has for us. And the truth sets us free. Proving His truth sets us free. Because we know it's true now. As we experience His life, life more abundant, as I said, He is the way, the truth, and life. And that's what we're going to get into today. So let's go ahead and do our verse-by-verse Bible study as we look at verse 2. Be ye transformed in the mind of Christ. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. First part we're going to look at. First things first. If you're going to be a living sacrifice, you must by faith reckon yourself dead to the things of this world. First thing first, reckon yourself dead to the things of this world. How? Well, Andrew Murray, who is a South African minister, missionary, and commentator, he ministered for 60 years from 1860 on through 1917, he put it this way. Many a one says, I believe what you say about having faith. I believe what you say. But there's one difficulty. If my trust were perfect and always abiding, all would come right. For I know God will honor trust. But how am I to get that trust? How many times have you said, how, Jesus, am I to do this? I've tried. And you cry out to Him and you repent. Lord, help me. How am I to do this? The answer is simple. My answer, he says, is by the death of self. By the death of self. The great hindrance to trust is self-effort. So long as you have got your own wisdom, your own thoughts, and your own strength, you cannot and will not fully trust God. Because guess who you're going to be relying on? Who are you going to rely upon? Yourself. That's what Jesus meant, to deny yourself. Trust in Him. But he goes on to explain. Well, how can you get that trust? He goes on to say, but when God breaks you down, when everything begins to grow dim before your eyes, that would be the worldly things like, you know, don't be conformed to this world, die to this world. When all these things, worldly things, grow dim before your eyes and you see that you understand nothing, you don't know anything. In fact, Paul says, when you think you know something, that's when you're headed in the wrong direction. Understand, you know nothing. It's Christ who knows it all and gives it to you. And then we act upon it and share what He has given us. When we think we know something, that's when we're headed in the wrong direction. That's when we're full of ourselves and we get puffed up. And we become like a scribe or a Pharisee. Say, oh, well, let me share this passage with you. And let me do this and let me show you how godly I am. And walk around pious and, oh, you're condemned and you're condemned. It's like, get over it. We were all condemned until Christ died for us. And then He gives us the knowledge we need to live a life that's pleasing to Him. So don't get full of yourself. Don't think you know anything. I know one thing. I know the answer to everything. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Him risen from the dead, He lives. And because He lives, I now live in Him. That's all I know. That's all I need to know. That's all I want to know other than what Christ gives me each and every day. As He will fill my mind with His Spirit, as my heart is willing. But I know my flesh is weak, so I have to battle it every day too. In fact, the closer you draw to Christ, the more you wrestle with the flesh, because you really start seeing how dastardly you are. Right? As you get closer to the beauty of Christ, you can see just how deceitful and disgusting the flesh is. But He cleanses us with His blood. He's forgiven us. So, when you see that you understand nothing, then God is coming near. And if you will bow down in nothingness and wait upon God, He will become all. He will become all. What's it mean to be a living sacrifice? It means God to become all in your life. That's the new perspective we're to have. The renewed mind. That God is all, in all, and does all. I don't have to understand it. I just need to put it into practice. And it'll prove it. Every day He'll prove and affirm I have salvation. Because you will see when you will observe just that every facet of your life, no matter how small a detail it is, God is there working it out. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good pleasure. So we're to continue to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Amen. Because we desire fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Fear that I'll be separated from Him for 1 minute. Trembling, just wanting and desiring to have that life surrendered to Him. What are we trembling against? This flesh that still hangs on us. In my case, it's a 260-pound gorilla that I carry around with me. This old dead carcass. But I'm now a spiritual being, and so are you. Not a carnal or fleshly being. He goes on to say, our mindset must be to rest in Him, as faith is rest. In the beginning of the faith life, faith is struggling. But as long as faith is struggling, faith has not attained its strength. But when faith in its struggling gets to the end of itself and just throws itself upon God and rests on Him, then comes joy. Then comes victory. And at the end of his life, he boiled his over 200 books and writings, and his 60 years of ministry, and his missionary work, he boiled it down to this. Cast yourself upon Christ. Christ cast Himself upon the cross for us. May we now cast ourselves upon Him as we have been crucified with Him. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. That's what we looked at last week, Galatians 2:20. In the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And just to continue on, Andrew Murray's prayer was one of total surrender. He says, "May not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light, love, and joy of God's presence, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for Him to fill full of His Spirit and His love." This is the new perspective given by the renewed mind that understands we are nothing and He is everything and surrenders all to Jesus through casting ourselves on Him. Does this mean He was any better at doing this Himself than we are? Absolutely not. But He had the renewed mind that allowed God to do it. And when we delight ourselves in the Lord, what does He do? He gives us the desires of our heart. And those desires will be to have that life that He wants as a living sacrifice. Doing the will of God as instructed and led, enabled and empowered by Him. It's so simple. It's so simple. We just need to quit striving in the flesh and strive in the Spirit. What's striving in the Spirit? Surrender. And by the way, you can get, I don't know if you guys have a Kindle or not, from Amazon, but you can get the Kindle application. And for $1.99, you can get 21 of Andrew Murray's works. And I'm going through them right now. That's why I'm picking some of this stuff out. I went through three of them already. Surrendered life, an abiding life. I'm reading about the perfect life right now. Perfect life, of course, is Christ. So anyway, Kindle application, $1.99. You get 20 of them, 21 of them. All right, pressing on. Many people will say, after hearing this, "This is great at church. I agree with it all." But the reality is, when I face the world, it all changes. And that's where you're wrong. As the reality is, you are a new creation in Christ, and the world merely distracts you from this fact, as it's all part of the great deception given by Satan. "Oh, I can't do this. The reality is I can't do this." No, the reality is you're a new creation in Christ. Get that out of your mind that you can't do it. Christ can. That's the reality of this life that we have. That's the new perspective we've got to have. "Oh, well, I go to work and they start doing this and doing that, or I'm at home and the kids start going crazy." Hey, good. You know where your help comes from. Bow down on your face, right? And look up, because He's there. He's reached down to you. Bow down to Him. That's what Andrew Murray said. Bow down to Him and know you're nothing. You don't understand. But He does. He understands everything you're going through. And He says, He promises, "All things work to the good for those who love the Lord and are thee called according to His purposes." So whatever you're going through, whatever misery at work or whatever your misery you're having in your family or whatever sickness or whatever you may be going through, understand, trust in Him and to rest in Him, to let go and let God give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's the joy of the Lord. That's the victory we have. But you can't ever experience His victory if you're running the race in your own strength, in your own wisdom, and in your own knowledge. So the reality is 2 Peter 1:3 in NIV, and we've cited this many times, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. How do we tap into His divine power? Through our knowledge of Him. It's all about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It's not about just reading the Bible like some textbook and trying to figure it out on your own and say, "Well, how can I apply this to my life?" You're headed in the wrong direction as soon as you get that I word out there. Instead, it's, "Lord, I desire You. Give me this life." Because He says that the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's how you tap into His power. Knowing where to go. And when do you go there? All the time. Paul says, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you have to close your eyes, particularly if you're driving in a new van. It's our knowledge of Him. And then we're given the power needed through knowing how to be a living sacrifice. As we're enabled and empowered then to live a life that's acceptable to Him as His witnesses and His ambassadors, as He calls us. But the problem with a living sacrifice is, as I touched on last week, but didn't get to expound on it, the problem with a living sacrifice is by its nature, it's alive. And guess what it wants to do? Crawl off the altar. Every day. It wants to crawl off the altar. It don't want to stay there. The flesh don't want to stay there. It don't like being a sacrifice. It's alive. A living sacrifice is alive. And that's why it takes dying daily to self and surrendering to Jesus every moment. That's how we live as a sacrifice. Dying to self. Turning it over to Jesus every moment of the day. As the old man wants to live, and the world tries to resuscitate him by constantly deceiving us. Deceiving us with the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I, and you need this car, and you need this house, and you need to dress like this, and you need to wear this smelly stuff, and you got dandruff, and you got toenail fungus, and you got all these different things. It's like, oh, I got to have all this stuff. Oh, you don't? You need Jesus. And He'll take care of it all. Amen? It don't matter what you look like on the outside. When you're in Christ Jesus, it's the beauty of Christ that will shine through. Praise God, when my wife met me, she seen more than my outside appearance. Hallelujah. And now she loves me even more. Because every day she sees the beauty of Christ growing in me, and I see the beauty of Christ growing in her, because that's what God will do each and every day. That's what this life is about. The world wants to resuscitate the old man by constantly deceiving us, but Christ has crucified Him at the cross, as we just talked about in Galatians 2:20, meaning the flesh has been nailed to the cross, meaning that also when the flesh was nailed to the cross, the statutes or the regulation of the law was nailed to the cross as well. We're no longer held under the law because we're in Christ Jesus and He has completed the law for us. Amen. He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Every jot and tittle. And we rest in Him to do it. That's why we can't be legalistic. Because once you start trying to do it yourself, you put yourself back under the law. You like step out of Christ and start putting yourself back under the law. He says, we're in Christ. Positionally, we're in Christ. Don't go back under the law. We have a new law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what He said in Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And thus, in that law, the new law, or if you will, what governs our life now is the Spirit, and thus the flesh needs to be continually reckoned dead by faith. And this is done in our minds. That's where the battlefield is, and in our minds. Therefore, Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's he mean by this? Transformed, the Greek word transformed means a metamorphosis takes place. A metamorphosis. You know, like a caterpillar goes into a cocoon and comes out as a butterfly? Right? That's a metamorphosis. And it's changed from the inside out. That's exactly what happens to us. As Christ is formed in us, then we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we'll be changed from the inside out, and then we'll be conformed to His image. As people will look at us from the outside in, they'll see Christ then. So we're changed from the inside out, and when people look at us, they'll see Jesus from the outside in. Definition of metamorphosis. A change in form and often habits of a creature during normal development after the embryonic stage. That's the technical definition. Well, for us, it happens from the inside out as we develop spiritually after our embryonic stage. What's our embryonic stage? Being born again. And we're changed into the beauty of Christ. Our old habits start dying away. And our lifestyle changes. And the things that God hates becomes the things that we start hating. And it's not other people. It's about the things that we do that are offensive to God. If you see a sinner and they're doing something that you hate, good, because that means that you recognize what sin is. But we were all that way. And what can you expect from a sinner that's unsaved? So don't condemn that person. Share the good news of Jesus Christ and bring him into the light of life so that they may be transformed, metamorphosized into the beauty of Christ. You know what's interesting is a caterpillar, what's it do in order to be changed? It's got to go out and eat constantly. Just feed all the nourishment that it's supposed to have. And it just goes to a certain stage and then it goes into the cocoon and then it comes out, however long it is, as this butterfly. What do we have to do? We have to, in the mind of Christ, consume His Word, apply it to our lives, and prove that it is true. Another thing about a caterpillar, and I heard this story, and you probably heard it if you've been with Calvary Chapel any time at all, how this little boy, he was going to help this butterfly come out of this cocoon, you know, because a butterfly, what it has to do is, wings are all like, I don't know, flexible and all this kind of stuff. It's got to, you know, it's pushing against the cocoon and all this stuff so that it can get out of the cocoon. So this little boy went over to help it out of the cocoon. Well, guess what? That butterfly never fully developed. Why? Because that body, that new body that that butterfly had, needed the stress and the effort of pushing against that cocoon in order to grow and for its cardiovascular system to mature and its wings to mature so it'd be strong and the muscles would expand so that it could fly. Well, guess what we need to do? We need to struggle against this world, this cocoon that we're housed in, so to speak, this world that we're in but not of, and press against it because that strengthens our spiritual cardiovascular system, that heart in which Christ sits on as the throne of our life. So if you're struggling against this world, good. God's got you right where He wants you. If you got a comfortable life, then you ought to figure out what's going on here. Because you know what? God don't want us to be comfortable. He wants us to be growing and going. He says those who suffer with Him, those are who will reign and rule with Him. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a respite from time to time. Doesn't mean things aren't going to go great from time to time. But nobody promised us an easy life when we came to Christ. If anything, just the opposite. I mean, just dying to self should tell you. It's not meant to be something that's comfortable. It's not meant to be something that's easy. It's going to take effort on our part because that's our human responsibility. But again, remember. God does it all. It's our response to His love and the ability that He gives us. But push against the world. Push against other people's flesh who press against yours. Push against Satan's temptation. Build up that cardiovascular system, that spiritual cardiovascular system. Exercise, and look at me, I'm a picture of exercise. Not. But exercise yourself in Christ. Not against the world, but in Christ. Because what can you expect from a fallen world? I mean, what is right has now become wrong. We can't even tell who to marry anymore. Whether it's male or female, and we got transgender and all this. If you feel like a girl today, fine, be a girl if you're male. This is craziness. But you know what can you expect from a fallen world that has no direction? All they have is themselves. That's man's wisdom proven to be folly. Proven to be destructive. Proven to spiral down to the pit of hell. But pray. Pray for the people you know who aren't yet saved. and be that example for them. And share what God gives you when He tells you to. Amen? Be transformed. That metamorphosis will take place. This happens when you set your mind on things above as you're a new person formed in Christ, and then He transforms you from the inside out through spiritual knowledge of Himself. Let's turn to Colossians 3:1-11. And it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness." Everybody know what fornication is? That's married out. That's having sex outside of a wedlock. If you're living with somebody, that's fornication. If you haven't been joined together in holy matrimony, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And it's the flesh. It's a picture of the flesh. Idolizing the flesh. Verse 6. "Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them." We once walked in the flesh, but no longer, as it says in Romans chapter 8. Verse 8. "But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed." And renewed here means grows up in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. In the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. So we grow up in our knowledge in Him, and we're renewed in our minds. "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Hallelujah. So set your minds on things above. "For you died, and now your life is hidden in Christ." Now what's interesting is, in Greek, the word hidden means it's already happened. And thus, it's a present reality. That's the truth. Your life is now hidden in Christ. That's what I said before. Your life is now hidden in Christ. The reality is, you're a new creation in Christ. It's not what the world is telling you. It's not what your flesh tells you, that you can't do it and that you shouldn't do it, that I'm just a sinner and, you know, and I'm just all this and all that. No, the reality is, you're a new creation in Christ. You have the mind ready to be renewed. All you've got to do is allow Christ to do it. That's the reality. It's already happened. When Christ died on the cross and you came and were born again, you became that new creation. It's already happened. That's what reality is. Not what the world tells you. Not what you tell yourself in those weak moments. That's the truth. In other words, put on the new person that you are. Put on Christ, who is your life, as the reality is, if you're in Christ Jesus, He now sits at the right hand of God, the seat of power, and so do you. You sit in the heavenlies right now in Christ, as He is in you and you are in Him. And His resurrection power, His divine power, now rests in you. So put it in action through faith. Put it in action through faith in the knowledge that we have of Him. Remember, His divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness through what? Our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Put His resurrection power into action. You have it resting in you. Apply it to your life. Take those steps and go forward in faith. And prove what His Word says, that it is true, that it is reality for you, and not just for somebody else. We must reckon dead our old nature, and doing so is a state of mind, as we have been given the mind of Christ to operate in. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:16. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ."
You've been given the mind of Christ. Use it.
Therefore, this means we can't instruct Him, but He can and does instruct us through His Holy Spirit. And He enables us to apply all that is of Him through faith. As He is the way, the truth, and the life, the abundant life in the Spirit of God, which is our new perspective. And that's what it means to have the mind of Christ. Our new perspective is that He can do it. Paul, just have faith in Him and surrender to Him and allow Him to do it. And pray that He does. And He will, because He's faithful. But people will still say, but I can't do it. I've tried. You're right. You can't overcome sin, but He already has. That's the reality of it. You've already been forgiven. You no longer have a sin nature. You're called saints, saved and inspired not to sin. Remember that acronym, saints, saved and inspired not to sin. Not to use it as an excuse to sin, but saved and inspired not to sin. And now let Jesus clean His holy temple, your body, as He'll do it as sure as He did it before when He turned over the money-changing tables and He set the doves free, which is a picture of our spirit being set free because we prove what is true in our life, the gospel truth. And you are being conformed, made holy through this process. You're already declared holy, set apart, consecrated to God. Now consecrate yourself to Him and you'll be made holy. Dedicate your life to Him in this manner and you'll be made holy. As He'll cleanse that temple, and we will be conformed into the likeness of Christ, which means changed into His beautiful creature. We'll be changed into His character. We'll be changed into His love. And we'll be changed to take actions which are faith choices for the glory of God. That's what happens. That's what putting grace into action does. We make faith choices. This is the new life we have in Him. So quit telling yourself, oh, I'm just a sinner. That's a lie. Straight from the deceiver himself, and merely an excuse to keep on sinning and not feeling guilty about it. Instead, take off the old man and put on His garment of righteousness. Put on Christ's garment of righteousness, meaning put on Christ as your life. That's what it said in Colossians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. Is sin of God? No. Therefore, you're not a sinner. Now all things in you are of God. You're not a sinner any longer. You may still sin from time to time, but that's not your new nature. That's just something that happens because we're still in this flesh. But we repent of it. And we surrender to Christ and say, Lord, take this from me. Give me that knowledge I need to avoid that. Enable me and empower me to live the righteous life. Amen. So this is our new perspective. Stop living in defeat. Instead, live in the head. Right? Live in the head of the church, who's Christ Jesus. Don't keep telling yourself you're a sinner. The reality is you're a saint. Now live like one. He's given you everything you need to do it. And when we rest in Christ through faith and allow Him to cleanse our minds, our life will be changed. Hallelujah. And in closing, the proof is in the pudding. It's practicing Christ's righteousness. As he goes on to say in verse 2, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's not laws written on stone tablets that can be broken, but on our new heart. That heart that's willing and done in the mind of Christ. So we have a new heart. That's what Ezekiel 36:25 says, we have a new heart and a new spirit of obedience the moment we're born again. And we now have the renewed mind, the mind of Christ that says, yeah, let's do it. Let's focus on that. And all this amounts to is a consecrated life to God. And it's done by the enablement and empowerment of His Holy Spirit put into action. His grace, His Spirit of grace put into action. And it's done by believing that Jesus will do it all. And He'll do it if only we'll let His Spirit take control of our lives. Remember Jacob wrestling with Jesus? Or wrestling with the angel of God? I believe it's Jesus. And he wouldn't let go. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. So the Lord blessed him, crippled him, but blessed him, right? We have Jesus living in us. We have all of His power. We have His mind. We have God's riches at Christ's expense, the infinite riches of His grace given to us. Oh, if we'll only use it. It's there. As I've said before, it's like having a room full of treasure and leaving the door locked. Not going in there and opening the door. What good is it to have the treasure if you don't use it? If you got money and don't spend it, what good is it? That's my theory anyway. My wife practices that too, by the way. So it's put into action, and He'll do it all if only we'll let His Spirit take control of our lives by dying to ourselves daily. This is what He meant when He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And a living sacrifice takes up their cross daily, which is symbolic of dying to self, and will follow Him. When you do, you'll prove by experiencing what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Good. You'll taste and see that God is good, as the proof is in the pudding. Tasting His goodness. Experiencing, savoring His goodness and delighting in Him. Experiencing what He has for you, which is His grace. Not merely reading about it, but instead applying Christ's teachings as it's all good. And acceptable. This is how we live our lives consecrated to God. Walking in Christ, in His Holy Spirit. This means we must take up our cross daily and live the crucified life, which is the only acceptable life. As Hebrews 12:28 says, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Because you see, it's the Spirit of grace, His Holy Spirit, that gives us Christ's resurrection power. But we got to use it. We got to put it into practice. Perfect. His will is perfect. This is why we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're to have the righteousness of God living in us, as it's the life of Christ. What's the life of Christ? Dwelling in Him, living in His love, by which we're perfected, and abiding by His word, which is following Him. By doing so, we become those living sacrifices that Paul is begging us to become here. And a metamorphosis takes place. We become holy, which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. And that's our application today. Become holy. Surrender all to Jesus through the renewing of your mind by reading His word and knowing what His will is for your life. And applying it. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You, we love You, we adore You. We thank You for this message today. We thank You for telling us how to walk in the Spirit. We do it by resting in Christ, by having faith in Him. And we know that faith is resting in Him. And that when we rest in Him, we will be allowing Him to change us into those beautiful creatures that You see us as in Christ. And we thank You for that, Father. We thank You that as we are in Christ, You see us as those new creations. Not the faults and failures and the things that we experience as we're wrestling with this flesh and in this world that grates against us, but You see us as Your children. You see us as being like Your Son and being perfected and presented faultless by Him through our knowledge of Him. And we look forward to that day when we'll be there face to face with You as then we'll know as we are known. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.